You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We're in the midst of the quiet part of the NFL offseason as we get ready for OTAs and minicamp. Then we'll have the league-wide break heading into training camp and the preseason. Then, before you know it, fantasy football season will be here, along with the NFL regular season for 2023. So it's time to have a little bit more fun here, breaking down our top nine lists. We're in a mode here of doing some lists for you. And we like nine because it's one less than 10, but it's my favorite number, and it's nice here. Three players per segment we can break down for you, or three things that we are just looking at the league that we want to bring to you. So here we got to follow up what we talked about yesterday, looking at the players that are in for rebound or comeback type seasons. We're going to look at the players in for a drop-off based on where they were. We're going to only go after the high scores in fantasy. That means starters there that we're looking at, whether they're QB1 in the top 12, RB1 and 2 in the top 24, and then wide receivers in the top 36, as well as tight end. There are a lot of drop-off that we need to look at. So we'll examine players across positions. We'll count down up from number 9 to number 1, the most likely player to have the biggest drop-off here in 2023. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen. Subscribe and follow for free wherever you get your podcasts. We're part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, your fantasy football team every day. All right, let's dive right in. Number 9 is our only tight end, because I looked at the tight end list. There wasn't a lot that you're going to look at, okay, that we're going to bring down Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or Dallas Goedert. Just not going to go that way. And Taysom Hill, a little bit too obvious, right? He was a gadget player. They're not looking at him, of course, in New Orleans as a starter anymore with Derek Carr there. So he's an obvious not value person, as well as Juwan Johnson. That situation in New Orleans changing a little bit. So we're going to focus on a tight end that might have surprised some people with his top 10 finish last year. It was Cole Kmet of the Bears. He had to be relied upon more because they didn't have a lot going. They had Darnell Mooney have an injury there at wide receiver. Chase Claypool only came along in midseason. Justin Fields was running a lot, not throwing too many balls deep. Kmet was a good security blanket, and really the tight end scoring as a whole was down, so that made Cole Kmet, in relation to that, a pretty viable player that you could look at. So Kmet, we've been talking about him as a guy that we've liked in fantasy. He came through last year. Not maybe the consistent player that we're looking for at that position, but still had the numbers to back it up as a tight end one. But this year, it's not going to be as good, because now you have Chase Claypool for a full year. You've got Mooney healthy. You've got DJ Moore about to eat up targets. And don't forget, this team also signed Robert Tonyan, and this is critical because Tonyan has some experience in this offense. Luke Getsy was in Green Bay, so they have familiarity there with Robert Tonyan, the offense, a good athlete, good player in terms of receiving in his own right. And that's the thing. It's not like they added a blocking tight end here. It is someone that can compete for key targets with Cole Kmet. So not really a very good offseason for him. Again, the Bears should also open up the passing game a little bit more, trust in Justin Fields to get the ball to the wide receivers. So it all lines up against Cole Kmet here. So yeah, he's not going to be a tight end one again. It was fun while it lasted, but they had a new offense takeover last year and it really helped him. But now they're adding Tonyan. They've got Moore, who now Justin Fields has established as his new go-to guy over Mooney and Claypool. So let's watch that develop. But it's not looking very good for Cole Kmet to come close to his production from 2023 as a tight end one. Number 8 is Daniel Jones. And look, I know that Daniel Jones has a bit of that cheat code going on with his running, and he's in a good offensive system with Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka. I just don't trust the receivers all that much. I don't know if Jalen Hyatt is the best fit for what he can do, or Paris Campbell for that matter. So these are speed, quickness type receivers. They're not like bona fide number ones like a DeAndre Hopkins, veteran type that comes in and just like eats up, or Stephon Diggs, that type of situation that developed for Dable in Buffalo. It's more piecemeal, put it together with these receivers. You got Darren Waller, not sure if he can stay healthy. I just think it's going to be hard for Daniel Jones to repeat QB1 status, also because of those rising quarterbacks. We talked about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. These guys could push Daniel Jones out of the top 12 for sure. So Jones is going to have some value here, but in relation to the rest of the quarterbacks, there's going to be a drop-off where you're not going to feel him as a QB1. It's just hard to duplicate that. Now, when you look at Geno Smith's numbers, you would say, okay, he might be a candidate to drop off because he's Geno Smith, but they added a receiver there in Seattle in Jackson Smith and the Jigba. It's a rising team with a good offensive line and a lot of scoring here. We know they have DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and JSN. Daniel Jones, again, is trying to make it work with Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton again, now with Campbell and Hyatt in the mix and Isaiah Hodgins. We'll see about what Waller can do. But on paper, the Giants look a little bit better at wide receiver, tight end. But in reality, in execution, you're thinking that Jones is going to be curbed a little bit, especially if he also doesn't run as much. So he comes in as the number 8 most likely player to drop off in fantasy football in 2023. Number 7 is Kirk Cousins. That's about where he finished at quarterback scoring last year, but too many weapons not there. No Adam Thielen. That was a big part of Cousins' production last year. I know he has TJ Hockenson and Justin Jefferson, of course, as the lead number 1. KJ Osborne is a pretty good number 2 receiver. But overall, I just don't like Cousins here because, again, not going to give you the running. We talked about Watson, Wilson, Rodgers, some people behind that could have big years. Don't sleep on Jordan Love. Derek Carr could bring up some numbers here. So I don't think he's a very good value here to go after Kirk Cousins. Again, the touchdowns are going to drop off. Jefferson's not a big scorer. Thielen was a big red zone guy for the Vikings. This offensive line's not bad. They have Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw. They're pretty good at the tackles but can struggle elsewhere. I think the offense might take some lumps if the running game is not as reliable here. See what happens with Dalvin Cook if they cut or release him. So I think there's a natural drop-off for Cousins. I mean, Thielen meant so much for him all over the field. I think it's just a hard guy to replace overall in Minnesota. So again, I see a natural drop-off again. This is more in relation to the rest of quarterbacks, not giving you that QB1 top 12 finish. I think you easily see that happening for Jones. And now Cousins, our number 7 drop-off player here in 2023. We got 6 more players to get through. We'll do that in our final 2 segments. There's some wide receivers to explore as well as running backs. So, yeah, we're going to go away from tight ends and quarterbacks. That's about what you have there and guys that will disappoint everyone else about in the right spot in those 2 positions. So we'll get to 3 wide receivers next and then a couple running backs and another wide receiver in for big drop-off here in 2023. It is an exciting time of the year in the NBA, and it's no better time to get in on FanDuel because the NBA action is getting close to the end here. You have the Denver Nuggets. Congratulations to them. They are in the NBA Finals. They're waiting for the Miami Heat to finish off the Boston Celtics, so that should be a great series, Denver and Miami, if we get that, or even if we get some miracle comeback there at Boston and Denver, that'll be a good series as well to check out with the action. So make a fast break right now to FanDuel, and they're going to take care of you really nicely here because right now new customers are getting a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. It's really great to play on FanDuel. It's very easy. I've been looking at it more during the NBA playoffs. They have great promotions every day tied to the games, parlays that you can play as well. Safe and secure, you can rely on the app that you get from FanDuel to be just that. So no hacking, nothing there that you're going to be worried about. You can rest assured you're betting your money in the right way. And you can also rest assured that you'll get paid instantly with FanDuel as well. You'll see the money right there deposited to your account and ready to go for more action. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action, whether it's NBA or NHL, than America's number 1 sportsbook. We're also waiting for the NFL season. There's some futures that you can check out as well, win totals, some week 1 lines you can also look at. So all you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/lockedon, get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. There, FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA and the sponsor of this podcast, as well as shows all across the Locked On Network. It is time to continue the show and break down the players most likely to have a big drop-off in fantasy football production in 2023. We had number 9, Cole Kmet, Bears tight end. Number 8 was Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback. Number 7 was Kirk Cousins, Vikings quarterback. We're up to number 6. I'm a little cautiously optimistic that it won't be so disastrous here with this player's numbers dropping off, but it is hard. When you lose the GOAT, Tom Brady, as your quarterback, it's going to be hard. Mike Evans is on this list. Now, Mike Evans finished really high last year, scoring consistently. He's been a 1,000-yard machine for the most part, good receptions that you can count on. But he's inconsistent, we know that. He's a little bit big play dependent. He's a little scoring dependent. Now you lose Tom Brady. You're trying to figure out if Baker Mayfield's going to have the same chemistry with Mike Evans. We also know Mayfield is not the best at pushing it downfield efficiently. So that's not good for Evans. And they've already talked about Chris Godwin in a monster inside-outside role as the new number one. So I think Godwin, bump him up for sure. Evans, you got to keep sliding down. I think it's kind of insane that he was a wide receiver one last year, but not again this year. I just don't think happening in half-point PPR or full-point this time. I mean, keep in mind that he's not necessarily a volume guy. He's a big play guy. And I don't know if those big plays and touchdowns are going to come as often. So you're already leaning against him a little bit in PPR and half-point PPR. And now if you get Mayfield reeling on the running game and spreading the ball around, short to intermediate routes, that's not going to help Evans. So Evans' only hope here is to really pad his stats with touchdowns. But I just can't see that high borderline wide receiver 1-2 production that we saw from Mike Evans in the past. It's just not great with the quarterbacks. And again, Godwin looks like the clear go-to guy. I think they'll use more the tight end Cade Otton. They have pretty good pass-catching backs. They're adding a little bit depth at wide receiver, so we'll see how it plays out. But it's not really good right now for Mike Evans. A little bit too big play, touchdown, and big game dependent for me there. That's why he's hit it a drop-off without Brady throwing him the ball all over the field, downfield, in key situations. So he's number six. Number five is Brandon Ayuk. He had a big year last year, but Deebo Samuel, again, more injury issues there. George Kittle was out there. I don't see Ayuk going repeating this high-level production right there as a wide receiver. One, just not going to happen. There's too many guys there. Deebo, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey now here for a full year as a key pass catcher for whoever's a quarterback. That's also the concern. Brock Purdy has the elbow. Trey Lance, we don't know what they're going to do with him. You have Sam Darnold, so that could all be factors here to limit Ayuk's production. Again, I think Samuel's the better overall player, and that helps him. Having a little bit more juice overall in this 49ers offense is going to hurt Ayuk with more mouths to feed. So I can't recommend it, especially McCaffrey and Kittle on top of Deebo Samuel really helping to produce in that passing game. So Ayuk definitely slides here out of borderline wide receiver one status to number five is the most likely player to drop off on our list. Number four, as we mentioned, three wide receivers were coming. He is Tyler Lockett. So we talked about how this was great for Geno Smith, having a third key receiver in the first rounder, Jackson Smith Njigba. If you line up inside or outside, he's got a lot of Lockett's capacity in him, only a younger body. Lockett, getting a little older, has been very consistent in fantasy football. I just don't think you can get another wide receiver one type season out of him. I just don't think it's coming because you've got JSN, you got DK Metcalf, you got the tight ends. Geno Smith did a great job of getting the ball to Lockett last year, but more competition if they use 11 personnel. It also makes the receivers a little bit more equal in terms of their routes and hands. I think Lockett is a little bit equal to what they can get with Jackson Smith and Njigba, where you have a separation. DK Metcalf's a totally different animal, but he is a guy that can stretch the field and make big plays. You got that. He's just a total beast downfield, while you have Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba, they're more jackrabbity types, get them in the open field, play them inside outside. So I think that's how you're looking at it with this receiving core, and Lockett's bound to drop off. I think, again, DK Metcalf's fine because he's DK Metcalf, 6'4", sculpted like a god. He's going to make some catches here no matter what, and he's going to be fully trusted. I think having JSN is going to really help Metcalf, where I think it's going to cut a Lockett just because the targets and similar situations are going to be looked at. So definitely Tyler Lockett comes in as number four. Pretty very good fantasy receiver. I still see him no more than a wide receiver 2-3 borderline here dropping off. So there's still that, but he's definitely going to drop off from that elite wide receiver one status here in 2023. All right, there you have it. We still have three more players. The players most likely have the biggest drop-offs in 2023. Three more receivers we just talked about. So Mike Evans at number six, Brandon Ayuk at five, and Tyler Lockett at four. So who will be in the top three? These are guys that are going to disappoint from what they did last year. We have a good list for you to close it out here. Thanks again for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen to every day. Every day, or a special shout-out to you. as you're here every day of the week to get our fantasy football insight on the show. So looking forward to it. We'll have another fun top 10 list for you tomorrow there as we continue the series, and we'll have another one where we also look at the core questions of all 32 teams heading into training camp preseason. So we'll have all that good stuff for you here. So check it out here on the Locked On Network and Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, it is time to close the show and reveal our top three candidates for the biggest drop-off here. Joe Mixon comes up. He finished as a RB1 and half-point PPR number 12. He's effective, but they're already looking at Chase Brown, the rookie that they have out of Illinois. You also have one guy they like in Trevion Williams out of Oklahoma. So there are some options there, even without Samaje Perine, they're looking at with Mixon here. So interesting. They might be tired with him on the field there in Cincinnati. Off the field, he's been a little bit tough to deal with. They're near the line. He's getting older with the wear and tear. I think he's due for a drop off. The attrition, the durability, he's going to let it drop off here this season on top of maybe the role as well. So Joe Mixon comes in there at number three as a potential drop-off flare. Look, he finished right in the top 12 last year as an RB1, but we know he doesn't have that momentum this year at all. So he might surprise us in the end. They might say, okay, we don't have a lot here in Williams or Brown yet. We want to trust the veteran with Joe Burrow. But Mixon's got to show a little bit more better production than that, and we'll see how it plays out for him. But right now, Mixon slowly being phased out of what the Bengals want to do. They just can't afford him. They've already paid him. He's a little bit older as well, getting the mileage and slowing down. So not really good overall for Joe Mixon. At number three, most likely fantasy player for drop-off in 23. Number two, Christian Kirk of the Jaguars at wide receiver. Why? Well, Calvin Ridley's in the mix, and Ridley is the number one. Christian Kirk is more complimentary number two. He'll go back in that role with Zay Jones. And Evan Ingram is also someone he's fighting targets with. They looked at a tight end in the draft as well. So not great for Christian Kirk. More people to compete with targets. Not a lot of vacated targets there. You lose Marvin Jones, but you know that Calvin Ridley is going to do more, plenty of that with his presence there. So we'll watch the Calvin Ridley, Trevor Lawrence chemistry session here. We know Lawrence and Kirk had pretty good chemistry. But Kirk slides down as number two. He's simply not going to see the volume of targets he saw last year, just going to spread it around. And again, Ridley is very intriguing for sure, coming back and having a year off, having those fresh legs to be special here, moving on from Atlanta to Jacksonville. I really like that potential. So Christian Kirk, don't go after him as a wide receiver one this year. It's not going to happen with the duplication. And finally, this is one player you're definitely not going to go after as an RB1. It's Jamal Williams. He actually leaves the Lions, where he was a double-digit scoring machine last year. That's how he got into the half-point PPR top tier of scoring among running backs there. But now you're worried because it's a situation where you have Kendre Miller, who's a little bit redundant with Williams, a young power back out of TCU. You got Alvin Kamara, some depth in the Saints' backfield. And you look at Derek Carr. He can facilitate touchdowns, but sometimes they're limited by the running back. So I think you'll see more TDs through the air here. Jamal Williams, again, that is touchdown regression as its finest here, the poster boy for that. You're not going to have all those little pop-in short touchdowns in New Orleans. Simply not going to happen with Miller there in the mix because they're high on Miller. Kamara is also a decent red zone runner, even though he's known for catching the ball and finishing drives that way. He's very good at also punching in the short ones. So we saw that record-breaking performance of 60s a few years ago against the Vikings. So not a very good landing spot in reality for Jamal Williams, and not really good ranking for him in fantasy football here. So don't go chasing the box scores and numbers from last year. This is a good lesson to be learned there. And Williams is case in point here. You know you're not going to get that type of season from him again with his new team in New Orleans. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of the top nine likeliest players to come back down to earth here in terms of their fantasy football scoring in 2023. We are here for you, Locked On Fantasy Football. Check us out every day for our next top nine list tomorrow. Subscribe and follow for free if you're new to the podcast on wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's iTunes or YouTube. We've got you covered there with music on Apple. So all that good stuff here. They got your show up there, any favorite show you liked on the network. We're part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, your fantasy football team every day. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another top nine offseason list for you to break down.